The entertainment industry has been trying to get virtual reality real for decades. Remember The Matrix, Tron, where characters are sucked into deep, immersive 3D worlds? Or how about the arcades in the 1990s where you put on one of those clunky virtual reality helmets? Oh, I remember those. And they were very successful in making you nauseous. Well, virtual reality is back again, and perhaps for real this time. Video producer Luke Groskin and Christian Baker tested out the Oculus Rift headset. It appears they survived, because Luke is right here. He's Oculus Rift, I'm sorry, headset. And Luke is here. He created the video of the experience, and he joins us to talk about their newest video, Bridging the Rift. So you tried out the Oculus Rift, Luke?
Indeed I did, Ira.
And you're here.
Yes, I am. I made it back from virtual reality just fine, unscathed.
Tell us about how is this different from all the other virtual reality stuff that's out there.
So I, as a young kid, went to the arcade as well and put on one of those football helmets basically on a treadmill and tested those out and got nauseous and promptly ran to the bathroom. I was very disappointed. And, you know, as a video gamer, it's and I and many others have kind of dreamed of experiencing virtual reality, especially when playing games. Mm-hmm. And what separates this and actually gives a lot of people hope about virtual reality, if you're into virtual reality, is the technology and the design has actually come a really long way.
I'm Ira Flatow. This is Science Friday from PRI, Public Radio International. Talking with Luke Groskin about his virtual reality video. And so it has come a long way, you say.
The technology has come. I mean, for one, the screens have gotten way, way better since the 90s. Yeah. But it's not just the screens. The bulkiness is down. The Oculus Rift, which I managed to test out, has a 90-degree field of view, which means that you are deeply immersed in the environment, this virtual world. So when you're wearing this headset, which is pretty small, you can't really see the outside world. In fact, you can't see it at all. You're just completely in this world. With a pair of headphones, you can kind of lose yourself in this environment, whatever you're in.
And it's convincing that you're there?
It can be pretty convincing. Yeah. Especially when you wear headphones. That definitely changes how you feel. Now, the big innovation that Oculus VR has done is they've figured out motion tracking. So when you move your head just slightly, just even smaller than a millimeter to the left or right, your inner ear kind of picks that up. And so there's a little communication going on all the time between your eyes and your ears. And if you disrupt that, then you get things like seasickness. They have this thing called virtual reality sickness, motion sickness inside this world, where if you don't accurately, down to a sub-millimeter, represent what you're seeing within your on screen with what your head is kind of doing, then you can get sick. And so they figured out, they've added accelerometers, gyroscopes, all sorts of equipment in order to kind of, make it better.
And so you can go places that you'd never be able to go before. And we were talking with Sylvia Earle about the oceans. Imagine if you could have virtual reality at the bottom of the ocean and see all the stuff almost like she could see it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there are people that are brainstorming different ways to use this technology. And, you know, it's always been kind of a dream for everybody to kind of visit virtual worlds. And Palmer Luckey, the founder of Oculus VR, he's always been an advocate for this. And he kind of believes that this is inevitable, that this innovation, that VR mm-hmm. is coming for whether you like it or not.
There's a reason that virtual reality has endured through science fiction and movies and in books and in video games and in just all of these different forms of media. It's because people want to experience impossible things. They've always wanted to experience impossible things. If we could have perfect virtual reality, who wouldn't use it? Who wouldn't want to use it for something? So it's really just a matter of when is VR going to be good enough for it to expand maybe beyond gamers and into the rest of society. It's never been a question in my mind about it, you know, if it will happen. It's always been, will it happen? Will it be in my lifetime? There's those kinds of doubts, but it will happen, and nobody can really stop that.
And has it happened in Oculus Rift, you think?
So Oculus has produced a pretty impressive headset. There's other video game makers and technology makers. Samsung just released their own version of a virtual reality headset. Sony. It seems like mainstream mass technology makers are really embracing this notion that this could be the next big thing.
Mm-hmm. And that's part of our video pick this week. You've captured that for us.
Yes, it's been a pleasure to experience it too.
Were you surprised how well it worked?
I think it's going to be great for video games. The big question to me is will it work for cinema? Will it work for movies? Watching a movie in virtual reality.
All right, thank you, Luke. And you can see our new video, Bridging the Rift, up there on sciencefriday.com. Before we go, a reminder, we don't want to miss you, and we hope you don't want to miss us. We're going to be in Southern California. Come and see Science Friday Live in Pasadena. We're going to be out there on the 27th. We'll be talking about science on TV and the movies, science and storytelling. We're going to have actors and screenwriters. We're going to create a game. You can play a game of movie science, fact versus fiction. So come on out and meet our gang. And if you want tickets and information, here's how to get them. Go to sciencefriday.com/LA. Scoop up some tickets before we sell out. Come and sit in the audience. Come by and say hello. That address again is sciencefriday.com/LA. That's about all the time we have for this hour. BJ Lederman composed our theme music. Our thanks to Bob Isaacson and our production partners at the studios of the City University of New York. And if you missed any part of the program, you want to hear it again, go to our website at sciencefriday.com or go to our Facebook page. And if you like us on Facebook. And, of course, we continue a week-long discussion on Twitter, Facebook, at SciFry, SCIFRI. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week. I'm Ira Flatow in New York.